Psalm 36, 8. They drink their fill of the abundance of thy house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. Psalm 36, 8. They drink their fill of the abundance of thy house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. Psalm 36, 8. Psalm 36, 9. For with you, Lord, is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Psalm 36, 9. For with you, Lord, is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Psalm 36, 9. Psalm 107, 9. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Psalm 107, 9. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Psalm 107, 9. John 6, 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6, 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6, 35. Psalm 27, 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Psalm 27, 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Psalm 27, 4. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. This is going to be for all of us, I believe, a challenge, because I'm going to share with you some words that will increase your vocabulary. Some of the words that I'm going to share with you this evening, you know very well. Some of the words that I will share with you this evening will perhaps be, of course, new words. We will be increasing our vocabulary. God gives us the ability to use words to communicate. In fact, Jesus himself said that he was the Word. A word is a means of communication. Jesus Christ is the means of communication of God's concern and God's love for mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. We have life that lasts forever, and as believers, we have life that will last forever with our Savior Jesus Christ. We're here tonight to advance, grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In order to do that, we know that we have to be in fellowship. So we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice this evening that we are members of your family. We are told in the Word of God that we are redeemed by your grace. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have the assurance that we're only one heartbeat from being in the presence of our Savior throughout eternity. One heartbeat, one breath away. We do not know just exactly when that will take place. We're going to leave this life either by means of physical death or by means of the rapture. We do not know when that will occur. Help us to understand that while we're here, you have a reason and a purpose for our existence. We're here because you've placed us here. You let us be born in this magnificent time called the church age, between Pentecost on the one hand and the resurrection of the body of Christ on the other hand. These are important days for us. Life is short at the longest. And so help us to understand that if you give us another day, that is a gift from our Heavenly Father designed for us to advance spiritually. May we change those things we know as far as gnosis is concerned to epinosis, so that we can then blend those beautiful truths and make application of those truths, so that we can be victorious and triumphant on a moment-by-moment and day-by-day basis. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen now, we're going to see Ephesians 3:18. We have some magnificent verses in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. We've been analyzing these verses one at a time. It seems that we should pause on each particular verse and spend several days there. But we can't do that, so for that reason, we move along. Verse 18 says, in order that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. If you'll go to your Bible and look, please, at this 18th verse, you will see that it is followed by the verse that says, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Look back, if you will, please, at verse 16. That he should grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able then to comprehend our verse with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and then to be filled up with all the fullness of God. Most of you are aware of the fact that the first word that is used in the Greek in this verse is a word that covers the entire first line in the English. In order that you may have. The word is hina, H-I-N-A in the Greek. We tried to explain this to you in past days, and so what I want to do again is to show you how fantastic this is. I have it presented to you in a literal fashion, and I'm going to put that on the screen for you to see. There's a little word, hina, at the very beginning of this first sentence here, H-I-N-A. It's a conjunction presenting a purpose clause. Translated, as you can see here, if you can see from where you're sitting, in order that you may have strength. That you may have strength. An emphasis upon the fact that it may or may not be the strength in your life and mine. Because it is a subjunctive verb. The aorist active subjunctive there shows that this is an emphasis upon not an ingressive aorist or a culminative aorist, but a causative aorist, taking a look at that situation and seeing it in its entirety. In order that you and I, as believers, may have strength, be strong enough, make decisions to go the right direction so that we may have the strength to fulfill God's plan. In order that you may have strength to comprehend, the word is to grasp and to hold. The Greek word is katalambano, a beautiful way to say it, which is an aorist infinitive verb, which reveals the presence of God's power in relationship to His desire for all of us. The infinitive mood is a wish or desire. It's our Heavenly Father's desire that we have the ability to comprehend, to grasp and to hold, to be mentally strong, to make ourselves available to what He has prepared for us, which means perception, total comprehension, even when we don't feel like it, to do it anyway. Some of you may not have felt like being here tonight, but you made a decision and you came on anyway. The purpose of your being here as a believer is to receive gnosis. Gnosis is a Greek word for knowledge. It is not only God's plan for you to receive gnosis, knowledge, but it is God's plan for that knowledge not to remain dormant, but that it be stimulated, added to, blended with additional information, so that there can be victory and triumph in a believer's life. I'm trying to lay a foundation for you tonight to see something. We need to move gnosis to epinosis. Gnosis needs to be changed to epinosis. So the title of our message tonight is Gnosis Changed to Epinosis. What we're doing is increasing your vocabulary and letting you see some Greek words, I believe, that will be helpful to you. On the screen now, you see gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, if you want to write that out in the English. And the Greek is G-N-O-S-I-S, beautiful word. We have a gamma, a nu, omega, sigma, iota, sigma. Gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. On the screen, you also see epinosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. Epsilon, pi, iota, gamma, nu, omega, sigma, iota, sigma. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful words. In our verse of Scripture, we have an emphasis upon comprehending, increasing, blending. What I've done is I put myself a little note, and that is, this needs to be presented in a literal fashion. It says here, and I read it again, that we are to understand God's plan for us to put together the things so that we can grasp, hold on to, and have this along with all the other saints. And the last part of the verse says, with all saints. And then it goes on to say, in order that you may know what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. On the screen now, I'm going to put 9 words. I would encourage you, if you will, please, to write them down. You may not be able to write all the Greek words, and that's okay. But in the last part of this 18th verse, there is the Greek word platos, translated breath. There is the Greek word mekos, M-E-K-O-S, length. There is the word H-U-P-S-O-S, height. And there is the word B-A-T-H-O-S, depth. You may want to write these out in English. Breadth, length, height, depth. The word breath is the word which means that you and I are members in the church age of the royal family of God. By means of the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, this formation comes by way of the filling of the Spirit as a result of having been the recipient of the baptism of the Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a down payment on this royal family. The filling of the Holy Spirit is the functional power of this royal family. Saturation with the Word of God on a day-by-day basis is the fuel for this royal family. Capacity for life is the fruit of this royal family. All in the midst of that one word, breath. We're living in a magnificent time. This word emphasizes the interpretation of history, truth, where time is emphasized. Breath. Length. Eschatological emphasis related to the church age. Height. Referring to the truth related to God's essence, the eternal plan of God, Christology, pneumatology. The word depth is used here, which refers to the fact that you and I have the responsibility of understanding that while we're here on the earth, we all have a sinful nature, and we have to be very careful that we do not allow ourselves to be under the control of satanic thinking. I mentioned a moment ago, I want to give you 9 words. I'm putting those words now on the screen for you. Some of you know these words. If you do, that's fine. If you don't, please write them down. The first word is cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. It's the word for heart. The word heart in the New Testament, is the cardia, is the word used for the mentality of the soul. I wish I could just spend a little time on each one of these words, but you can see right quick-like that I could not do that in a period of time we have. The second word that you see on the screen is the Greek word nous, N-O-U-S, and it is the word translated mind. Now, there's a reason for me giving you all these words because of what we're going to say a little later. But please notice, cardia is the first word, mentality of the soul. Nous is the second word, which means the mind. And the third word is similar to nous, but it is the verb rather than the noun. It's noeo, N-O-E-O. Which is to be translated thinking. Thinking. You use your mind to think. The next word is a word we've already given you here tonight. It is the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, knowledge. The next word, number 5, is a beautiful word. Type it, write it out so you can type it out later. Phroneo. P-H-R-O-N-E-O. There's a reason for me doing this evening because I want you to see that phroneo is the word which means thinking objectively, objective thinking. The reason that I give you that is because I'm going to flip the coin, let you see the other side. Number 6 is the Greek word dokeo. D-O-K-E-O, which means subjective thinking. There's a certain magnificent reason for me giving you these words because of what I'm going to share in just a few moments. We've seen the word phroneo. Number 5, objective thinking. Number 6, dokeo, D-O-K-E-O, subjective thinking. And then our favorite word that we've already presented, number 7, epinosis. What's the difference between gnosis and epinosis? Gnosis means knowledge. Epinosis means full, over and above knowledge. Having something more than gnosis, knowledge. The next word, number 8, is such a powerful word. If you don't already know this one, we'll learn it tonight. It's the Greek word sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A. The word sophia means wisdom, or what we would classify as workable knowledge. Workable knowledge. The last word that I have on the screen for you is the Greek word synesis. Maybe you've heard of this word, maybe you haven't, but it is a magnificent Greek word which gives us, in definition, the meaning of being able to comprehend. Comprehension. So if you were looking at these same words, now putting them on the screen, in the Greek, cardia, mentality of the soul, nous, mind, noeo, thinking, gnosis, knowledge, phroneo, objective thinking, dokeo, subjective thinking, epinosis, full knowledge, sophia, wisdom, workable knowledge, synesis, comprehension, insight. What is the Apostle Paul telling us in our verse tonight? In order that you may have strength to comprehend, katalambano. Now, I need to stop for a few moments on this word katalambano. If you look at it, you will see that we may or may not have it, because it's a subjunctive verb. I notice also it's an aorist active subjunctive, and then katalambano is an aorist middle infinitive, which says that God's desire is that every believer have the ability to comprehend and utilize spiritual truth. The middle voice, and I'll point this out to you here, the middle voice in this infinitive, katalambano, simply means that the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. That's the positive way. The middle voice, presenting it from a negative standpoint, says the subject does not participate in the action and is not going to be benefited thereby. You see how meaningful this is? In order that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. What I've decided to do is to share some things that have become new to me. And I'm making application of these truths for the first time in my entire ministry to you folks here tonight. Most of you are aware of the fact that the human spirit is received at the point of salvation, which means that God moves a person from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. We've heard this many, many times, but now we're seeing it more deeply. You and I are fully aware of the fact that we're sitting in this auditorium tonight in a body. As a born-again believer, our soul has been saved, and we are the recipients of regeneration, which means that we are the recipients of imputed righteousness, where Jesus Christ said, "Now I am in you, and you are in me." I cannot reach out in you tonight, and you cannot reach out into me and touch the human spirit. So I'm going to give you what I'm classifying as an advanced study. Number one, the human spirit is the immaterial part of the believer. It's important for you to get these words down, not only on paper, but in your mind. The human spirit is the immaterial part of the believer, designed by God to convert and utilize spiritual phenomena. One of our students, one of our young students, came up to me after the service one time and said, "Would you explain to me the word phenomenon?" I thought that was sweet and wonderful. Well, let me say it again. The human spirit is the immaterial, non-touchable part of the believer, designed by God to convert and utilize spiritual truths. Notice I put in capital letters here, to convert, to store, and to utilize. I had to sit at my desk and think about how I wanted you to hear this. I wanted you to hear it not just quickly, where it just passes through and over rapidly without entering into your innermost being. Most of us tonight know about body, soul, and spirit. But I'm saying to you this evening that the spirit, the human spirit, is the non-touchable, immaterial part of the believer, designed by God to convert and utilize the spiritual truths, gnosis, that we're taking in. Gnosis is information. What we do as we come every time to open our Bibles and study God's Word together, we are interested in receiving gnosis. But we need to realize that there's something far, far more important than for us just getting gnosis, information. That's the reason why I now have some subpoints. Subpoint one, the Holy Spirit is designated to take gnosis and convert it to epinosis. That's subpoint one. I repeat it several times, because if you don't get this, you're going to miss the other points that I'm going to give you next. The Holy Spirit is designed to take gnosis, information, and convert it to epinosis. Let's go over this again. What is the difference between gnosis on the one hand, epinosis on the other hand? Gnosis means information. Epinosis means full knowledge. Epi means, is a prefix. The first part of the word is a prefix or preposition, which means over. Over and above. In other words, to take something and add something to it, blend it with faith, store it, have it where it can be utilized on a moment's basis. I don't want to go to page 2 now until you see really and understand page 1. Number 1 up here. The human spirit is the immaterial part of the believers designed by God to convert and utilize spiritual truths. To convert, first of all, to store, to convert, utilize. Subpoint one. The reason why I'm going slowly here is because the next point, when I turn the page, is going to shock some of you. It came as a shock to me as it began to dawn on me. And I'm saying that to prepare you for the next page. But first, we've got to get this page. The Holy Spirit is designated to take gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, and convert it to epinosis. I sat there and I thought about this, wondering if how I could present it, how it was moving into my thinking. Not to confuse you, but to guide you, to help you see something that became so real to me. When I make this next statement, I think you'll understand. The Holy Spirit is designated to take gnosis and convert it to epinosis. And if you can see where you're sitting this part of the page, don't allow gnosis to lay dormant. That's what I want you to see. Don't, please don't allow. I was saying this to myself as I was thinking this through. Please don't allow gnosis to lay dormant. If gnosis remains without addition, without blending, adding to, it can become sour and become useless. And rather than phroneo, objective thinking, it can become dokeo, subjective thinking. Now you've got to stay with me to see what my thoughts are here. God does not want you just to receive gnosis. God does not want us to just receive gnosis. He wants the gnosis to be carried over into epinosis. Moving on, going away from being a baby believer, move to an adolescent, to a youth, to an adult, super adult, on up the mountain peak, so to speak. If you allow gnosis to become dormant, Satan is very excited about moving into your life and mine, moving us out of harmony and under the control of the old sinful nature. We become individuals with subjective thinking rather than objective thinking. And I trust you're hearing this. This is the reason why I gave you 9 words at the beginning. And I emphasize subjective thinking and objective thinking. Subpoint 2. Epinosis. When we receive God's word, accept God's word, store God's word, convert God's word, and we become the individuals who have the ability to utilize and make application of God's truth, no matter what the situation of life is, then epinosis activates additional truth in the soul. Are you hearing it? Epinosis then activates truth in the soul. Subpoint 3. There has to be the conversion of gnosis to epinosis, which will then result in sophia, which is the Greek word for wisdom. When I got into this, I began to realize that I can move into Ephesians 3:19 next Sunday, and I will. But for the next several messages, I will be emphasizing this magnificent subject of wisdom. Number 2, subpoint, epinosis then activates truth in the soul. Do you follow what I'm saying here? The activation of truth in your soul, my soul, the activation of truth in your soul. You receive God's Word. You believe God's Word. You accept God's Word. You store God's Word. You comprehend God's Word. You grasp God's Word. And you begin to apply and utilize God's Word. Heartache comes. You utilize God's Word in relationship to the heartache. Suffering comes. Death comes to the family. Tragedy comes. Whatever the situation is, what you have in your soul, epinosis then activates the truth in your soul. I'm getting so excited here for you to be able to see this. There has to be the conversion of gnosis to epinosis, which will result in Sophia, wisdom. Subpoint four. What then is wisdom? Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Subpoint five. Sophia is objective thinking, resulting in epinosis, which becomes usable in the mentality of the soul, which is a cardia. All right, let's reiterate subpoint five. Sophia, then, is objective thinking, resulting in epinosis, which becomes usable in the mentality of the soul, which is a cardia. Now, I had to stop myself for a few moments and just think about this and then type again. And when I began to type again, I said, note here. That means stop with me, please, and let's continue to think about this. Gnosis can be converted to imagination. And that's the Greek word, noeo, which we've already given you, which is the mind. The mind functioning in the field of imagination. And you notice I put down here, not the best. Not the best. I don't know about you, but if we're not careful, we can imagine all kinds of things. Imagination gets big. Have you ever had the problem of imagining something that was going to happen that actually never happened? But in your mind, it became so big as if it had already taken place. In other words, Satan can get a hold of our minds and cause us to do subjective thinking rather than objective thinking. That's the reason why I gave you those words in the nine words at the beginning. Gnosis can be converted to imagination. Noeo, thinking, mind, not the best. Number two, gnosis can be converted to dokeo, or subjective thinking, along other lines. And you'll notice I put down not good. Number three, gnosis must be received quickly, quietly, and converted to epinosis. And that epinosis then can go to the takeoff position so that when airborne takes place, it becomes the utilization of that information, Sophia, wisdom. On the screen now you see the Greek word Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A. On the screen also I put up here for you phronesis. It's the Greek word, the verb form, phroneo, phronesis, P-H-R-O-N-E-S-I-S. wisdom. While Sophia is the insight into the true nature of things. Sophia, wisdom. And we're going to get into detailed information on the subject of wisdom. But not tonight, just introduction. While Sophia is the insight into the true nature of things, phronesis is the ability to discern modes of action with a view to their results. While Sophia is the theoretical, phronesis is the practical. Lightfoot gives us this information on those words. The last word that I gave you on the nine list is this word, sunesis. And the word sunesis means understanding. It is the critical faculty. This and phronesis are particularly applications of Sophia. Now, concluding word. Don't misunderstand. When I refer to anything related to the Word of God as souring, because some people would have difficulty with the terminology that I use when I use the word sour. At the same time, what I was trying to do there is to let you see something that gnosis should never remain dormant in your life or mine. Because if gnosis remains dormant, then subjective thinking can take place quickly. That's the reason why gnosis needs to be completely, quickly, rapidly changed to epinosis, so that we can move away from being a napios, a baby believer. We can move away from being on a bottle, so to speak, a milk bottle. We can move to the point where we're able to understand and appreciate and utilize spiritual stakes in our lives. And we're faced with all kinds of problems and difficulties, and no matter what comes our way, we then are determined to utilize truth to face the situation and see it from a vertical divine viewpoint rather than from a human horizontal viewpoint. Not always easy. That's the reason why it takes a lot of truth in the soul for us to pass various tests of life. But we need to be moving gnosis to epinosis quickly, rapidly, and utilizing epinosis to see as God sees. May we pray together, please. Father, tonight we're thankful for the fact that we are able to understand that you do have a plan for us to have victory and triumph in life. And this scripture teaches us that we are to grasp and comprehend and be able to store and utilize and apply the truths of your wonderful word. We realize that you've told us that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. That means that you're with us when things are going well, and you're with us when things are not going well. You're with us no matter what the situation of life is. All of us in life have faced ups and downs. We face various problems and difficulties and heartaches and heartbreaks. But we're thankful that we know that you know far more than we know. And long before any particular problem came our way, in the eternal ages past, you knew all about it, and you solved the problem before the problem ever existed. So we know then that the solution to the problems have been preordained, planned in the eternal ages past. Help us to accept on a moment-by-moment basis and see things from a divine vertical viewpoint. And help us to grow and advance as we should, so that gnosis will not remain dormant in our lives. And as we come now to the last minute of this service, we're aware of the fact that there may be someone hearing this voice this evening who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but they could do that now. And upon receiving Christ, they will have life everlasting with Him in eternity. That's the reason why the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. That's the reason why we understand that Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus said that. So the way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.